In the background, the great Jasmia Horn. And we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Jasmia and her career. This is her debut release, Social Call, and I'm a fan. Good afternoon, Jasmia. How are you?
I'm well, brother. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for singing. You really sound... I like the fact, and before we start, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that she is the winner of the Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Competition of 2013 and the Thelonious Monk Institute International Jazz Competition in 2015, and she continues to roll toward a Grammy. Am I not correct?
I would like to think so. I hope so. Definitely.
I want to start from the beginning with you, definitely, because I think that one of the things that I noticed is that you're from Dallas, Texas, and your father and mother knew what you were going to be from the beginning, right?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother?
My grandmother. She was, you know, I guess you can say like a rising star in the 60s, but not really among the Chitlin circuit she was, but... professionally, she wasn't allowed to be concert pianist as she wanted to be in the 60s, as a woman, and as a black woman especially. And my mother and my father both sang in the choir at church, and my father played drums. My mother was a lead singer, and my grandmother said, you know what, the first child from you all will be named Jasmia. And here I am, carrying on her legacy. Of course, I'm not a concert pianist, but I am singing jazz as she would have been playing it. So there you have it.
Well, you're an African-American classical music singer, better known as jazz, I would think. And you do a fantastic job. The tight, Betty Carter, why did you select that particular release?
She's a hero of mine, And it speaks to so much. It speaks to... you know, not only holding on to your loved ones, but holding on to those who are being shot down in the street right now, because you never know if you get a chance to see them again. So it's about so much holding on tight to your loved ones, not just your brother, not just your spouse, your uncle, don't just take time out to say I love you and appreciate them for being who they are today in the community. So that's what that's about for me, especially.
You have an all-star cast with you, too. Victor Gould on piano, Ben Williams on bass, Jerome Jennings on drums, Stacy Dillard on tenor sax, Josh Evans on trumpet, and Mr. Frank Lacey. How did you gather all these great artists?
That's a great question.
They're all leaders. Especially Frank Lacey.
Well, I tell you, it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. You know, they play on the scene here a lot. Frank Lacey and Josh Evans and Stacy Dillard play together a lot. When I first heard their sound, they were playing with Frank Lacey's, I guess, septet, you would call it, at Smalls. And I couldn't believe the sound that they had. It was like, you know, they were all just a part of one whole thing. And that day I had to ask Stacy, I said, hey, man, would you play on my record? This was years ago. And he said, absolutely. You don't even have to ask. There's no question. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, you know, one goes through and then the others follow through. So it was perfect. Victor Gould and I have been playing together for, I don't know, 7 years since I moved to New York. So about eight, almost 9 years now. And Jerome Jennings, he and I played together at Jazz and Lincoln Center. The first time I ever heard him was at a Lincoln Center performance that we performed together. And then Ben Williams and I have actually, that was actually our first time sharing a stage, so to speak. We played at jam sessions together before, but we had never played professionally together, so it was the first time. But it was awesome.
You're awesome. The first time I heard you was on a Victor Gould release.
Okay.
And I said, who is this? And then your release came out in May, and I said, now I know who this is. And I inquired with some friends of mine of who you were in New York, musicians, Eric Wyatt and a few others, and they all gave you more than thumbs up. More than thumbs up. No, seriously. They gave you more than thumbs up. But the thing that I liked the most about your this new release is Lift Every Voice and Sing and Moaning. You did a great medley.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you hit it right on the money, you know. Both of them are classics in their own right, but the way you sang it, who arranged that for you?
His name is Marcus Miller. He's a friend of mine.
Marcus Miller?
No. Marcus G. Miller.
Oh,
he's
G. Miller, okay.
Mm-hmm. He and I taught at New Jersey Performing Arts Center together, and we were trying to come up with something that we could do for the concert that we were putting together. And he said, well, I have an idea. Why don't we do it like this? And he had an arrangement with guitar up front and vocals. And I changed it up a little bit and did piano and, you know, added some different sounds and things like that for the record. But I can't take 100% credit for it. That was definitely Marcus Miller arrangement.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job on that. I was really surprised how well you weaved it in. Because Moaning was really written, as you well know, by Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross back in the 50s.
Yes.
So, and you moved, and you know, Lift Every Voice and Sing, you know, that was written a long time, the Negro National Anthem, and you put the two together. Was that your idea to bring them both and merge the songs?
Yes.
Also, Afro Blue.
Oh, absolutely.
Afro Blue, Oscar Brown Jr. In fact, the Latin version is by the great Mongo Santa Maria. And you take that to another level. And also, in reading your bio, you sing across genres, R&B and neo-soul, and you added a little bit in terms of versatility within this. So I've listened to this more than once, and I was very familiar with the Ben Williams from his release, Flowers, dedicated to his daughter. And Jerome Jennings had come out with The Beast. So I've been following a lot of the artists that you brought to the table. And this is your debut release, right?
Yes, correct. That is correct. Yes, it is.
You must have about 15 or 20 more waiting for us to listen to. You've already written. No, I mean, for a debut release, and People Make the World Go Round, Stylistics produced that in 71. How did you select all these great, and including Social Call? How did you select, why did you select most of these great tunes?
Well, that's a good question. Nina Simone said it best, you know, when you have a platform and you use it to conduct art that speaks out about the time right now, that's the best way to do it. Otherwise, why be a musician? And, you know, that I live by that. I really do. And a lot of those songs that were saying, you know, Stylistics and I'm Going Down, a lot of that stuff, you know, it's not old. I don't even want to call it old because it's not. But it reflects the time. You know, during those times, there was a lot going on in the community among the Black nation. And those things are still continuous today. And so, you know, being the age that I am, but also being the age and spirit that I am, I thought, let's go ahead and mix the old school with the new school, because that's essentially who I am. I was raised, you know, by the elders, as we like to call them. And so I'm really good at respecting and honoring the elders and ancestors, but I'm also young, so I have the ability to reach forward into the future generations and kind of see what it is that we need or that they need, and also reach back to the elders and also satisfy as far as music is concerned. So I thought, what a way to bring them together, trying to bridge the gap, and those songs, just because they reflect the time doesn't mean anything has changed. So, you know, it's still the same song. It's like the same mashed potatoes but warmed up. It's the same song, but it's with my voice, which has a different connotation behind it, because the song has already been said. It's just I'm reiterating the message. That's essentially what I'm doing. Just to say, hey, you know, this stuff hasn't stopped. we're still in the same place, and when are we going to, you know, wake up? When are we going to take that social call?
Very good.
Focus on what we got to do and do what we got to do. So
your grandmother,
that's what a social call is all about.
Your grandmother was a very wise woman. You know, she probably said, this is an old soul. She knew you for many, many times ago and knew what you could do. I mean, really, I'm really, really giving you, you're going to take the lead as probably one of the great vocalists of this time that's able to take a message to the masses in many ways through your song, you know, like Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, and a host of others that through their lyrics, they energized people. And because I'm real up on lift every voice and sing and moaning, and people make the world go round, and that does make a major difference. What about your future? What do you have on tap besides festivals?
Well, I have two children, so I'm writing a lot of music for babies and for just to uplift, especially the black child, because you don't see a lot of that in the media. You don't see a lot of it on, you know, social media and in urban platforms. You don't see that a lot. So because my children, I don't like to say guinea pig, but I'm using them, you know, when I write something, if they like it, I'll sing it to them. We have songs about brushing our teeth and, you know, giving praise to God and the sun and nature, staying in tune with them. We have all types of songs that we sing on a daily basis. And so that's, you know, I kind of use them as a platform. If they like something and if they memorize, you know, the song, then I say, hey, maybe I'll record this, and I can also share it with other like-minded moms and parents and other children who deserve to be fed not only spirituality but good music.
Good music is the key, and the thing about, I like what you've just said. Oscar Brown Jr., when I was 9 years old, Sin and Soul, Oh Daddy, What's Over There? I mean, I enjoyed all of that, all of his great music. I was a fan of Oscar Brown Jr., and I'm glad that you're taking the lead in terms of encouraging African-American children, especially yours, to take up and help you with the lyrics. So they're original. they're very original. Any particular song have you written already?
I don't like to speak on it because I want to let it live and give it a chance to, because I might change the name, you know. I might tell you today and tomorrow I'm like, oh, I don't like that name, and I change it. So,
I understand, definitely.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you. Anything in closing to the WCLK audience?
Be you, because everybody else is taken. And
I like that. Be you, because everybody else is taken.
Yeah.
Ah.
And you know, live, give something. My grandmother always said, you know, reach out to the generation before you and after you, because you are responsible for both. To me, that meant my children and then my grandmother or my mother's generation. So we should, you know, come together in unity and in love and prosper.
I appreciate, Jasmia, you gracing this stage, but most of all of your wisdom. That makes a difference in the times that we live in through your recordings and through this interview. I appreciate you taking the time. I look forward to you coming to Atlanta at some point in time, and because you have an audience here that, whether you know it or not, that loves you as well.
Oh, thank you, Atlanta.
The ATL is in the house for you. Hold on for 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, Jasmia Horn has graced the audience, and we're going to play Lift People Make the World Go Round, since she focuses so much on people. Thank you, Jasmia. Hold on for 1 minute.
Thank you.